Welcome everyone to episode 63 of the Three Drinks In podcast. I am your host, Phil. Once again, taking over hosting duties. My brother is on, not baby sabbatical, it's paternity leave. I looked it up the other day. Yes, it had a name, I wasn't sure. Anyway, today my buddy Greg's coming and filling in the big kahuna chair once again. So my brother comes back from the mound of diapers, I'm sure, that has fallen and crushed him. We all wish him a speedy recovery from that. Should take about, I don't know, 18 years. Anyway, today we're talking about X-Men Apocalypse, the latest X-Men movie by Bryan Singer. But before you do, you can go check out our website, threedrinksinpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, where you can see things we've done, things we're doing, things we plan to do in the podcasting world. So until then, sit back, relax, and enjoy the latest episode, number 63. Big chair, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, not much. And I'm here helping you out because I listened to your last podcast. It was just your solo show. It was good.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It was good to be back on High Spots and Low Blows talking a little about wrestling. But, you know, like I said on that show, we're trying to get a dual thing going on here. So we're going to talk a little bit of movies, talk a little pop culture. And today we're going to join Three Drinks In, High Spots, Low Blow, Super Show. We're going to talk about X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah. The 6th, 7th? I don't know how many of these things there have been. Yeah, it feels like the 9th.
Do we count Deadpool and the Wolverine movies?
Normally I wouldn't, but everybody else counts them. So, yeah, I'm counting them.
Yeah. So, I'm sure it counts.
Yeah. But this is the I guess it's the 6th, like, full X-Men, you know, with everybody in it.
Yes, that's for sure. After the original trilogy, which we can break down. I guess we can do that at the end of the show when you do your, like, your three questions. We can talk about our favorite one of those.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, I think it's the 6th one with all the major players in the X-Men universe. Mm-hmm. And did you like it? We'll just get right into it.
This one?
Yes.
Do I like it? It's tough to say.
You don't know because there's a lot going on.
Yeah. So I'm going to go out on a limb and just say, no, I didn't really like this movie.
Okay, that's fine. Right. I'm going to go on a limb and say I did. There are a lot of things I really liked about it. There were some things I didn't like so much about it. But overall, I thought it was a valiant effort. Like, they look like they really gave a crap about this one.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of TLC in this movie, you know?
Yeah. They really tried to, like, pull on the X-Men fan base a little bit, give you the classic characters, bring them back Cyclops and Nightcrawler and Jean Grey, and they threw in a little spoilers with, you know, Weapon X and Wolverine. So it really was kind of a homage, really, to the classic X-Men lineup, because we haven't really seen one of those in a really long time since X-Men 3.
Yeah. And they all had, like, their original outfits and everything, too, which was a cute little thing.
Yeah, it was okay. Like, I didn't mind the costumes. I thought they looked the same as they did in every other movie. There wasn't anything groundbreaking on there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the most classic look they had was in First Class, I think, right? When they were, like, their first mission on the beach and whatever.
Yeah, they actually had the yellow in their uniforms, you know.
Yeah, and you got a little of that towards the end when they kind of showed them all lined up. But other than that, I thought they freaking found them. They, like, accidentally opened a door. Like, hey, look, flight suits. And it's like, oh, no, those are your costumes? How convenient.
We have just enough, and they all fit perfectly.
No, hey, they have my size. No, they have my size.
All right, so what did you like about the movie? What did it for you?
I think it was the script being a little hammed up. It was very dramatic. I thought everybody in the movie really turned in very good performances. I thought the acting in this movie was probably the best acting we've seen in a X-Men movie in quite some time. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. I thought everybody was good in their roles. And I thought, you know, I thought the chick from Game of Thrones, Sansa Stark, Sophie yeah. Turner, thought she was great. The kid who played Cyclops was good. You know, Nightcrawler was Nightcrawler. You know, I think everybody who had their little roles to play in this really big, ambitious movie did a really nice job. Yeah, I really was happy with the performances.
Mm-hmm. Who would you think is the best?
Oh, that's tough. Not the best. I don't know. I'm a big Fassbender fan. You know, Michael Fassbender playing Magneto. I thought he didn't have much to do in this one, but when he was on screen, he was excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, so he was good, but you know, he wasn't really in it that much. So, you know, who really care? You know,
yeah.
Because let's just say, like, this movie was very like. I was thinking about this like as I was watching it. I was like, how do you describe this movie? Because we kind of saw it like a half hour apart.
Yeah.
So I think you text me and you were like, what is this movie? and I laughed and I just wrote back, no idea.
Yeah. I was so confused. I was like, I don't understand. Wait, what is this? I know it's supposed to be a blockbuster comic book movie, but it isn't really. Not the whole time.
No, it isn't. And it was very emotional. It was very kind of, you know, it was very dramatic. It was heavy. It was a heavy movie, I felt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way I would describe it was like a dinner that none of all the dishes, like you have a dinner that's on a plate. You have like a couple of different components separated. They're all very tasty, but when you put them together, they make no sense.
Yeah.
And
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it really was. Cause it felt like there was just, it was 2 hours and 20 minutes. It was a long movie.
Yeah. And I felt that length after a while too.
Yeah. And it felt like there was like 20, 10 minute movies.
Yeah.
Because it was just so all over the place and so, and you know, we'll break it down as we go, but it just felt like there was something missing from it that would have brought it all together, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I really don't know what else they could have done.
Well, what else did you like before we rip into why I didn't like it, but...
I think that was it. I think the acting was very strong. That was about it. I thought the action sucked. there wasn't much of it, and what was there wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that was it. I thought it was a well-performed movie. Given what they were given, they all did a really nice job. That's basically it. And it made it better than it was. If there was, like, really horrible performances in this movie would have been freaking terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree. But that's what I really liked was that Bryan Singer is a very good director at finding like the heart of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was so good in those other X-Men movies, you know, finding the struggle of these people. They don't want to be different, but they are, and how they survive in society like that. You know, he's good at that. He brings mm-hmm. a lot to it.
Yeah.
And he managed to do that with this one. Like there was all those scenes where all the different characters, you know, Quicksilver is looking for his father and Cyclops is just wants to be normal and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And so like all those little moments were really nice. Even Storm, who had 5 lines the entire movie, had a nice little thing at the end, you know?
Yeah. Her accent was awful.
Oh, I know. Well, where was she supposed to be from?
I don't know.
Africa,
I thought she,
right?
I think so. Or was she just some like vagrant?
Yeah. Like living in Egypt?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Egypt's in Africa, isn't it? Technically.
Yeah, well, technically. It's all one big place.
It's all one big place. But that was the other thing. It's like the famous movie things, like you've never taken a geography class. And like, you know, what does it do? Everything Wrong With, the YouTube channel. does this all the time when they do a movie. And it's just like, Cairo, Egypt. He's like, as opposed to Cairo, Indiana. Like, like we know where it is.
Moscow, Florida.
We know where it is. Like, you don't have to tell us the country. Like, if you told us Cairo, there's pyramids. We get it. We know where it is.
What is that, France?
Yeah, I guess so. It's the Eiffel Tower and Giza.
Yeah, and but they moved around a lot in this movie too.
They did. They really made do on the CGI.
Yeah.
And could they? Okay, one thing that did bother me, and every time they did it, it annoyed me. How many times were they going to do like the fast falling through zooming of something?
Oh yeah, they did that a lot.
Yeah, they did it at the beginning. They did it in the opening credits, and they did it like again.
Well, they've always done it with the opening credits, and when they started, I remember thinking, like, I really like these opening credits for all the X-Men movies. They're kind of cool.
Well, this one was history.
Yeah, it had, like, a nice little, we're moving through time kind of vibe.
Yeah, you know? Because the movie begins in ancient Egypt with, I guess, En-Sabanur is his name.
Yes, that's his... I guess it's on his driver's license, you know.
Yeah, it's on his birth certificate.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Apocalypse.
Yeah, it starts with a rousing scene in Egypt. I actually liked that scene. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was okay. It was, you know what it was for me? Like, I could tell, like, they didn't make a lot of this movie for normal viewing people. They made it for 3D. Mm-hmm. And it bothered me. Because you can tell, like, there's a lot of scenes where you're just like, oh, yeah, this is probably looks better in 3D.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't see it in 3D, did you?
No. God, no. I can't afford that.
I'm not paying extra $5.
Yeah. It's like paying $5 extra to barf. Yeah. The only movie I went to see in 3D was, like, I think it was... I went with your brother and your sister. We went to see Tron Legacy. I don't think you were there.
No, I didn't see that one.
But, like, you kind of had to because, like, they, like, instruct you to put your glasses on, like, when he goes into the computer land.
Oh, yeah. Well, put them on now.
Because, yeah, because all that stuff's in 3D, and then you have to, like, take them off again when he comes out. It's weird.
That is so dumb.
I know. It's really stupid. That movie's awful. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
So you like the opening scene where they're, like, transferring his soul into bald Oscar Isaacs? Mm-hmm. Because you could tell that was him, right?
You could sometimes. His voice would, like, change. It would be, like, super computerized every so often. He'd be like, what did he just say?
Yeah.
Sounds like he's belching.
Now that you mention it,
Xavier. Yeah. It's like, why is he? Yeah, sound
I think he had like a key grip back there, goosing him every time he had a yell. It's kind of
he had to be oiled like a machine.
He looked like Blue Bubblicious.
Get anybody in that role,
right? Can we talk about the makeup job on this guy? Because I'm sure you our listening audience who haven't seen the movie yet. And please, we're picking this apart, so go see it before you listen. But, you know, I mean, there was a lot of bad press when they showed his, like, the production stills for him. And everyone said that he looked like Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers movie.
And he does.
Totally does.
He still does.
I thought he looked like a, blue raspberry bubblicious gum.
Like all chewed up.
Yeah, like all chewed up. Like his face looked chewed up. Yeah, that stupid helmet on. You know, it was overdone role.
Overcompensating, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, I like Oscar Isaacs a lot. Like, everything I've seen him in, you know, the 7 seconds he was in Star Wars: The Force Awakens, he was good. Yeah. And, you know, he's been in a couple other things, and he's a very good actor, and he just seemed like they just kind of took the handcuffs off and was just like, you do every drama audition Shakespeare you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Act like the kid who wants to win that lead role in the school play.
Feel free to ham this up.
Yeah, ham it up a little bit. Yeah. And he had really dumb powers, Apocalypse did.
Yeah.
So his powers was just turning everything to dust?
Here's the thing. They didn't tell you what they were.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know. Like, at one point, he starts teleporting everywhere, and I was like, oh, he can teleport. That's new.
Yeah, he had, like, that cool glow ball that he just traveled around in.
Yeah, and then, like they mentioned, he gains powers by taking over the bodies of other mutants. That's mm-hmm. how he's lived for so long.
Yeah.
And he says, like, I've got many powers, but I don't have the ones I really wanted, and blah, blah, blah. But, like, turning things into dust is a dumb power, and then I can shield other people's minds from Charles Xavier, but I can't control them myself. And I was like, what can he do and what can't he? I need to know. It's important.
Yeah. I didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand why he was so dangerous. And it, you know, he was dangerous to humans. Sure. But to mutants, he really didn't pose that much of a threat. And I guess that was, like, the story, I guess, behind it, was that here's a guy that only... But isn't it, wait, didn't they do that in X-Men 2? Like, that was Magneto's plan in X-Men 2? Was to kill all the human beings so the mutants would rule the world?
Yeah, so okay, that was one of my big problems with this movie, was I'm not exactly sure what it is Apocalypse wants. At first, he just sort of shows up and is like, I'm going to destroy the world and make it better. Well, like, make it better for who? Mutants? Everybody? And he says, like, the strong will survive. And that's his thing in the comics. But in this, it's not clear. You know, and his big power is that he can make other mutants more powerful.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's his thing.
Okay, great. Good for you.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the problems I had with this movie, was that it really, like, you didn't really, it didn't really, like, yeah, he was going to destroy the world and build a new world, but, like, who cared? You know, he didn't really pose a threat to our heroes.
I mean, he spends so much time getting the four horsemen he has, like, his four helpers, and they're the bigger threat, and they don't do anything. They don't even have like reasons for being there. He just sort of like, hey, come with me.
they don't do a damn thing. They just kind of walk around with them. All he really needs is Magneto.
Right, he needs Magneto, and then he finds Charles Xavier, and he's like, oh, I need him too. That way I can control everybody.
See, that would have been interesting if it was like, if they came after Xavier first. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like skipped all the world-destroying stuff.
Not even that, but, like, they need him to be one of the horsemen. You know? Like, I don't know. I didn't get it. I really didn't get it at all.
Yeah, it was a little muddled. It was, you know, like, I get it in the beginning in ancient Egypt because they're all with sticks and swords, but now we have nuclear weapons and everything. I'm
And I thought that scene was pretty cool too. That kind of threw a nice curveball at me. There's a scene in the movie where he talks about is destroying everything, and he mind controls everybody who controls the nuclear weapons around the world and sets them off. And I'm thinking, oh, well, this is going to end up horribly. And then he shoots him into space.
Yeah, so that no one can oppose him.
Yeah, and there's like, now there's no... Because I think he's offended by the fact that there's like superpowers on the world. And that the US and Russia, because this is like still towards the end of the Cold War, I guess, takes place in, what, 1983, they said?
Yeah, 83.
And, you know, it's the tail end of the Cold War. Fingers on the button at all times. These nations claiming they're a superpower. Well, I'm the real superpower, so I'll show you. Now you have nothing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was kind of a cool curveball. I think this movie would have done wonders with some editing. I mean, they really could have streamlined their mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, in fact, held some people hostage. Because you really didn't see any... Like, and especially nowadays where you have all these... You know, you look at movies like, you know, Captain America and Batman and Superman, which they're dealing with the consequences and the destruction of their actions. Mm-hmm. You really didn't see that in this movie. You see stuff getting destroyed, but you don't see any, like, you don't see people suffering. You right. don't see the pain of like the world and the people dying. You just see like, you know, animated buildings and bridges getting blown up, and you're just like, well, like, why do I care?
Yeah, I'm supposed to assume that people are dying at this point. I mean, it, Magneto is destroying the world.
I mean, I feel like if you could have built it up a little bit, if you kind of can, like, especially with how heavy-handed the drama was in this movie, you really didn't do it. You really didn't put it where you needed it, which is the panic this would like ensue.
Yeah,
from all the stuff going on around it, all you saw really people panicking were like the army guys in a bunker.
Yeah, that, I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the Pentagon guys are worried. Sure, that makes sense. But, like, he's destroying, like, New. You see a shot of New York being destroyed and bridges
and
collapsing. I'm like,
Sydney.
Aren't there people?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sydney Opera House. That's
these cities are all abandoned.
Like, good thing it's rush hour and everyone's at home.
Yeah. Oh, it's 4th of July weekend. Everyone's down the shore.
Yeah, oh, that's convenient.
Like, it's dumb. So,
yes. So the motivation was... It was a little tricky. Here's the other problem I have with it. It's a big fundamental problem. All the other X-Men movies at this point were all about, we're different, the people are coming to get us, we have to live or fight humans. And that's always been like the theme. And that's the theme in this one as well. It's kind of in there. But Apocalypse is not that kind of villain. He's a world-destroying guy. So those two things are like now mushed together, and they don't really work.
Interesting.
You know, like the first
point.
Half of the movie is like that, and then it's all about we have to save the world. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's a really good point that I didn't pick up on. And maybe that's the thing that was missing for me, because that's such important part of in the X-Men. It's acceptance.
Yeah.
It really is.
Right.
And now it's like, you know, oh, since 1973, everyone knows about it and everything's fine. Like, really?
Yeah, and you see Mystique running around saving other mutants from being exploited by humans, and then it just gets dropped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was, like, that was something really cool that they didn't build off of.
Yeah, like, they didn't want to keep telling that story. They just switched to Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that would have been a good story.
And it's exactly what I was thinking about, and we'll, you know, what we're talking about here is a scene in the early part of the film where I guess it's like this underground bar in Berlin, Germany. Thank you for telling me that it was in Germany. Mm-hmm. And otherwise I wouldn't have known. And it's like this underground bar, like cage fighting, much like the first X-Men movie, right? Where Wolverine's fighting in the woods of Canada.
Yeah.
And it's basically they force mutants to fight each other in a cage to like the death. And you see a glimpse of Blob.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
A little Blob cameo.
Yeah, Blob cameo. Just get the back ass of Blob. Thanks. And it's interesting. It's kind of a cool scene, and then just kind of goes away. Which brings me to my point, which, like, what this movie really felt like was this movie would have worked really well as, like, a 10-episode TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Really well. 2-hour movie, not so much.
Yeah,
because
they were trying to cram too much in, and
they did so much, and it was an episodic movie. It really was.
Yeah,
I mean, from scene to scene, it was very like, oh, now we're here, we're gonna do some acting.
Yeah.
Now we're here, and then we're gonna act some more.
Yeah, look, so you can't see me, but I actually wrote this down. So here's the third problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apocalypse, Stryker, Angel, Storm, Psylocke, Magneto, Professor X, Cyclops, Havoc, Jean Grey, Nightcrawler, Beast, Mystique, Quicksilver, Moira MacTaggert, Wolverine. That is 16 different fucking characters, and they all need to have their moment in the sun.
Did you mention Angel? Did you put Angel in there?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
He was in there.
I don't know. You lost me towards the beginning there. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Too many people. That's a Major League Baseball bench.
I know.
like literally, there's 9 guys on the field and another 16 on the bench.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like the first hour of the movie is setting all that up. So when like the action starts, I'm like, holy shit, it's been an hour and a half already.
Yeah. That was a real fundamental problem of this movie. There was no action in it. I literally count on one hand, like the fight scenes. There weren't many.
Yeah, there was the fight with Wolverine.
Yeah, which was like a buck and a half in. Yeah, in the end, which was awful.
Yeah, I mean, everybody got a moment at the end, but at that, it was just so crammed together. I was like, is this almost over or what? Mm-hmm. Like, I was getting really bored.
Yeah, because it really wasn't it didn't feel like an X-Men movie because they really didn't meet up with the villain until the end.
Yeah, they're very separate.
Yeah, and you know, they throw Stryker in there for, you know, because he has to be. For the simple purpose of just to get Wolverine into the movie.
Yeah.
He had no purpose being in this movie at all.
I don't think he had any lines. He was
He had a couple
running around.
But that's the thing. You know, there's no reason for him to be in the movie.
No.
He serves no functional purpose to the plot. All it does is set up the fact that, like, oh, we got, you know, 5 minutes of Wolverine dressed like Weapon X, and he'll kill some people, and then it's over, and then the Stryker leaves, and you're like, well, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, no purpose at all.
Yeah, and even the action scenes that were good, they just rehashed from the last movie, which was the Quicksilver scene.
Yeah, they still go. They just added an '80s song to it instead of a Jim Croce song.
Yeah, well, that's when I texted you, because when they're doing that, right before this scene, Professor X is being mind controlled with Cerebro, and he's convincing all the people to send nuclear missiles into space. And it's super dramatic, and things are exploding, and blah blah blah. And then the next thing you know, they accidentally set off an explosion that's blowing up the Xavier house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Quicksilver shows up and he puts on the Eurythmics and saves everybody. And it was like a complete 180, like dramatic to a comedy scene. I'm like, wait, what the hell?
Yeah.
It looked cool, but like, what are we doing here?
And let me tell you about, like, in the theater with me today, there was like, it wasn't like Ninja Turtles where I was by myself. There was actually other human beings in the theater with me today. Maybe like seven or eight.
Wow.
I know.
This movie's been out a few weeks now.
Yeah, it's been out like 3 weeks, so.
Yeah.
There's just this awful woman just cackling at every minutely funny thing that happened throughout the film. Like, it was like she was watching, like, a Bob Hope special. I couldn't get over it. I was just like, I've never heard anybody laugh this much at anything.
Yeah. Lady, you're making it worse.
It's like her like, third favorite nephew wrote it. It was so obnoxious. And I'm just like, this isn't, like, forget it. Through, like, the whole Quicksilver thing and, you know, the awkward moment in Moira Taggart's office where he meets her again for the first time because he mind erased her. She's laughing like it's like, you know, I don't understand. It was so annoying. Yeah. So, let's break it down a little bit. Let's take it down. Like, we'll just break it down by characters and see, you know, who you liked and who you didn't like. So you go down your list quickly. We'll do this quickly, like one or two words on all of these people.
Okay.
So, like, who do you got at the top of your list? You're just
of all the characters.
Yeah.
I had Apocalypse, who we talked about.
Yeah. Got okay.
Stryker. He was. Reason to be there.
No reason to be there.
Angel, also no reason to be there.
Yeah, and why did he get a haircut?
Why did he get metal wings? Just because he did in the comics?
I guess so. Is that the full potential of his wings? Because part of his wings
like a fan service thing here, and Bryan Singer is good at that. But if you didn't know that, you'd be totally lost.
You were, and I think did they play up did they you know, he was wounded.
Right.
In his fight with Nightcrawler, like in the German bar, you know, part of his wings got burned off.
Yeah, he was hurt.
He was hurt, so, you know, he needed to be repaired, and I guess he's like, this is your full potential, metal wings.
Wouldn't that be everybody? Like a Borg or something?
Yeah. He gave, like, and that's the other thing, too. Like, you know, then you have Storm, we're going to make you more powerful and make your hair white.
Yeah, get a dad job.
Because once again, it's in the comics.
Yeah.
Okay, so keep going down the list.
So Storm and Psylocke, I thought, were also just there for the sake of being there, I guess.
I mean, it gave Storm a nice origin story and how she ends up at the mansion and ends up an X-Men student. Like, yeah, that's great, but I mean, she was the only one who really, like, did anything.
Yeah, I mean, well, she was there from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, and I thought her kind of origin as, like, kind of like the street urchin that uses her powers to steal and, like, lives in this weird house with other, like, vagrant children. Mm. You know, I would have liked to have seen more of that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, she could have had her own movie.
Yeah, I would watch that. As long as Halle Berry wasn't in it.
Yeah. Small caveat, she can't be Halle Berry.
You can't be anywhere in there. She was way better, and let's be fair, she was way better at being Storm than Halle Berry ever was in four movies.
I'm never going to work in Hollywood, so.
Yeah, no, we're fine. We can insult anybody we want. It's our show, damn it.
All right, Cyclops and Havoc. Wait, did we even go through? Pretty good. I thought they had a nice little thing there, you know, with their arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were cool, and, you know, it kind of... It gave the movie a little bit of weight because, you know, they needed, like, they had so many people. Somebody, out of all those people, one person died. Yeah. So, you know. It'll
give the other one a little motivation.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he realizes his brother was a hero and not just a freak. And
yeah.
That was cool, in the land of people where nobody ever ages.
Yeah, we'll get to that
later.
Later. That was bad. So we have Nightcrawler and Beast, two blue characters. They were
Nightcrawler was fine. I thought he was good in it. It was a very traditional Nightcrawler performance. He was religious, he was blue, and he teleported. That's all you really needed.
And I thought his action scenes were actually kind of cool.
Yeah, he was probably the best used of him, and I would say him and Cyclops were like of the new people they've shuffled in, was the best usage of his powers, and kind of they gave him the most to do when, like, because they needed him.
Yeah,
you know, they made him a vital part of the team, and I thought that was important. Mm-hmm. I think that was cool because, you know, everybody had their role. You know, they didn't overload it with new people. They kind of, you know, they stuck to, what was it, three new ones really for like the core X-Men.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool they brought them in, and they all gave them pretty, you know. They all had their spot on the team, and I think I enjoyed that part of it.
Mm-hmm. There was Quicksilver, who was okay.
Did the same thing over again.
Yeah, you know, basically.
He was the comic relief.
Mystique,
and,
you know, could have done more with her, I think.
Yeah. But you see, like, she was, like, the key to all of this, and I just don't understand that. She's way too... And I get it. It's because Jennifer Lawrence is just... She's the megastar. She's the it girl. You have to give her, like, a weightier role than some people would. But I never thought of Mystique as that important.
No, I never did. And it was definitely because it's Jennifer Lawrence.
Exactly. You know, they're paying her a metric fuck ton of money to do these movies. You know, and it's like, you have to make her... She's got to be the star of the movies. Because she outshines... She's way bigger of a star than anybody in these... any member of these cast, you know?
Yeah. And it's too bad because, like, you know, you could tell even in this movie, because she doesn't spend a lot of time in all the blue, that she was like, I'm a big star and I'm not going to put all that makeup on. And they were like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. And I'm fine with that because she's easy on the eyes.
Yes, she is. Mm-hmm. Even when blue, but yeah, you know, whatever.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay, but... so Jean Grey. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not totally sure.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought the thing with Jean Grey was that she wasn't good with her powers until the Phoenix thing got inside of her and made her ridiculously powerful. Right? Isn't that how it worked?
I always thought that she was too powerful, that she would hold back because she was afraid of what she would become, like they did with her in this movie.
Yeah. See, it's not... I guess that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of brought her in at the very end to help save the day. And I thought that was a little bit of bullshit. Because they keep teasing this Phoenix thing. And if you don't know what that is, you're just like, what the hell? Why didn't she do that in the very beginning?
Yeah. Well, they covered that. They were like, you know, there's a scene with her and like where she's afraid of her powers, and he explains to her when you really, you know, Professor Xavier explains to her, like, you know, when you truly tap into it, you have nothing to fear. I think that set up what happened in the end with the climax is just like, you know, you need to let, we're all going to die, and let, you need to let go, and you need to, you know, reach your full potential or we're screwed. Yeah. You know, that made sense to me. You know, I disagree with you on that. I think that made sense to me, and it, cause they had covered that earlier in the movie. It's at the very beginning. And you know, it kind of, it said, it foreshadowed that she's, in order for them to win, she's going to have to, like, you know, whatever. And if you don't know the Phoenix arc, they tried to do it in the original trilogy and failed miserably.
I think Bryan Singer stepped away and did Superman Returns, and they brought Brett Ratner in to fix it, and it was not fixed well at all.
Yeah, it just wasn't.
They
just
do the third one.
Yeah, so I mean, if they can totally revisit that, and I think that's what they're going to do, because I think the next installment is taking place in the 90s, because of course, because they have to do every decade.
Apparently.
We'll get into that when we get to the aging part of everything.
Yeah.
And then there's...
Right, so
who else we got?
Xavier.
No, he's fine.
And James McAvoy is a good actor.
Yeah, I like him as Xavier. I really do. You know, everyone, like, you know, you love Patrick Stewart because he's such a popular guy and he's great in that role. But I think, you know, the mantle has been passed to a very abled actor. He's very good in these roles. He's very reserved. He's very eloquent, I guess.
Yeah, he pulls off the British charm very well. And you really feel when he's upset and when he's trying to really motivate them. You know, you get behind him on that.
Yeah, I like him as Professor X. I really do. I think it's... You know, it was wise casting James McAvoy. You know, and he should have it down by now. He's in his third round of this.
Yeah, this is not new to them anymore.
No, this is, you know, that's why they brought in all the new kids.
Yeah. All right, and so Magneto, the big one.
I liked his, you know, I really kind of, in one of my favorite parts about this movie, like I said, because it was such an episodic movie, was his little backstory where he has moved away after the incident in Days of Future Past in Washington, D.C., where he, like, announced the presence that there are mutants among us. And then, you know, he disappears, becomes a fugitive, and changes his name, has a family.
Yeah, he has a family. Just, he has a wife and a kid.
In Poland, and he's just hiding out and trying to live a normal life until he's exposed. And... You know, and it's not exposed in a bad way. There's an accident at the mill, and he saves somebody's life.
And yeah, he saves a guy.
Yeah, he saves somebody's life. He's actually being heroic, and they still out him. So, I mean, and then, you know, his family is killed, and he's got nothing left. So I thought that kind of arc was well done. But once again, it's just this complete non sequitur to the rest of the movie. Like, it has no place there.
Well, I mean, I think it was there to show that, like, he was still super angry and upset, and that's what Professor X says at one point. He's like, you know, Apocalypse is making you stronger by tapping into your rage.
Yeah, you know, and that's why he needed him.
But
yeah,
here's the thing. I think it would have been better if they'd shown him happy and just left it at that. Like, if he wasn't so crucial to the plot. Because... It's been 6 movies now of watching this guy try to convince him that he should be good and him just rejecting it. Okay, move on. Do somebody else. Show him be happy. Show him be like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this at all in any way. I don't want to help or hurt, so just let me be. And that would have been, like, different, you know?
I mean, I also would like to see just, like, one time on film, like, super evil Magneto. We really haven't seen that. And, you know, you got it in, like, the cartoon show in the 90s and all that. It's really, you know, there's, like, a sinister Magneto out there that we haven't seen on film out of, like, how many movies now. Because it's always, like, their friendship has grown. and you know they're like flip sides of the same coin. At least in the original trilogy, it was like that. And then, you know, it's just we haven't really seen that. He's just they've humanized him so much that you know he's still so conflicted. You're wondering how he gets to like that other point. I mean, we may never see it at this point because how can you do that?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. Especially the way this one ends when he just sort of like walks out and he's not wanted man anymore, yeah. Apparently. Yeah,
thanks for dinner. I'll see you later.
Like, yeah, thanks just for putting leaves. My house back together.
Yeah.
Like, well, he fixes everything
sorry
for
about
him.
And... sorry about your dead wife and kid.
Yeah, sorry I tried to blow the world up.
With electromagnets.
Yeah, the Earth's magnetic poles.
So why don't we get into the climax fight and then we'll get into the real funny stuff about them aging. I think that was one of the worst climactic action fight scenes I have ever seen. It was so bad.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it. Like, why do that? They're clearly 30 years. This, you know, not 30 years older. They look.
Oh wait,
same.
No, I'm talking about the action, the climactic action sequence. Not the aging thing. We'll do the aging thing in a minute. But like the end of the movie where they're the big fight at the end. How bad was.
Which part? The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole thing. It was just awful.
I liked when Quicksilver was trying to beat up Apocalypse. I liked that part. Oh. Because it they even show him, he's super arrogant because no one can catch him. And even in the house, when he gets everybody and then they're looking for Scott's brother, they're like, where's Havoc? And he goes, pretty sure I got everybody, bro. And no, he didn't. He missed a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when he fights Apocalypse, like, he kind of like, well, this guy's a chump. And he's beating him. And then Apocalypse breaks his leg and he can't move.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was ridiculous because, like, this guy literally turned human beings into dust and made somebody into a wall. And then a fast guy was able to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, punch him back and forth.
He just punched him back and forth, like, a lot. And I'm like, the hell? I'm like, this all-powerful being destroying the world. He just got punched in the face by some guy with gray hair. Stop it. It was so stupid.
And they gave Psylocke... they didn't explain her power either.
Yeah, what the hell is that? She made laser swords?
She makes... And laser whips. Ooh.
Yeah, she can make her hands into Mace Windu's lightsaber.
Yeah, and she just runs around trying to slice Beast's head off.
Not gonna lie, Psylocke straight out of the Sega Genesis video game.
Yeah.
It was exactly the same.
Down to the... She dyed her hair purple, and I was like, wow, that's...
Who's that, Olivia Munn? That's that Olivia played Munn. Psylocke? Was that Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend? The quarterback of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
He's man handsome.
Yeah, I might try that out. But I mean...
Yeah,
she only had like 3 lines anyway.
Yeah, she didn't really do much. She fought more than talked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just had like, it's just, and then you had a fight between, you know, Beast did his Beast things and, you know, Cyclops, you know, lost his mind, and then Jean becomes the Phoenix and melts everybody, and then it's over. What happened to Angel? I forget. Like, what happened? Oh, he died in a plane crash, right?
Yeah, he gets like crushed by the plane because he was flying inside of it or something.
What
about when Apocalypse was trying to transfer himself into Professor X?
Yeah.
And then they have like the inside their mind fight where they're punching each other and stuff. I was like, oh man, this is taking forever. Like, that's when I really felt how long it was.
I'll tell you what, they could have cut the outside fight shorter and I would have taken the mind fight a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
Because it was cool. Actually, it really was. And the fighting between the four horsemen and the X-Men was so bad that, you know, it took away from... And what the hell is Moira MacTaggert going to do there? Just standing around.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't have her try to do anything either. So just stay there, because you can't fight anybody. Yeah, you have no powers. You
know, we just got to get our money's worth with Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good segue into how they didn't age at all and 20 years since the beginning of First Class.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided to set... First Class was in the 60s, the Cuban Missile Crisis. The next one was in the 70s.
In Nixon's reign.
Right.
So was that like 72?
Yeah, 72, or yeah. The Paris Peace Accords, 1973, yeah. or something yeah. like that. And then this one was set in 1983. But everyone looks the same.
I don't. The only, you know. And they even like joke around about it. And like when he sees Moira for the first time, he's like, "It looks like she hasn't aged a day." Like just like, you know what? Just turn to the camera and flip us off. That's exactly what you're doing.
Right, and I get that you're trying to do like a continuity thing. Like you did a great job with Days of Future Past, but if you're going to do that, then you have to keep it the same way. Like. Professor X should be in his 40s and 50s by now. I mean,
yeah, he should be like know. Should be in like his early 40s.
Yeah, well, he clearly doesn't look 40.
I mean, like look at the guy, like Alex Summers Havoc, who fought in Vietnam. He looks younger than he did in the last one.
Yeah, like, well, like what's the benefit to putting it in the 80s?
That's really the main question. Is you know. Is it just to put, like, funny 80s references in it? Or are you just going for the decade thing? You know, I don't understand. Like, I mean, if I was, like, a producer on this movie, I would explain it away. It's just like, you know, the comic books, they all look the same at different time periods throughout the... We're going for continuity, but we're kind of, you know, nobody cares.
Yeah.
The only person who's non-aging is explained as Mystique's because it's part of her mutation. She doesn't right. age. Or she ages slower than everybody else. But, you know, everybody looks the same.
Yeah. And all they did was cheesy 80s jokes and sometimes the soundtrack and sometimes what they were wearing. But not always. There were plenty of times when I thought, I'm like, oh, it's right now, isn't it? You know, I couldn't tell.
Like, yeah. Whoa. I mean, outside of them, like, walking out of the screening of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And taking a jab at the third X-Men movie.
Yeah. Oh, the third one's always the worst.
Yeah. And then, classy. But hang on a second. This is the third one of their movies.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, you pissed on your own movie. Instead of making it
irony,
yeah, right. It's like that's exactly what I thought. I didn't take that as a jab of that. What I said was like, well, we know this one sucks.
Yeah.
Like, and then you know you have like Quicksilver's like, oh, I'm just playing Pac-Man, and watching Knight Rider.
Yeah, watching Knight Rider. I was thinking of you because you're a huge Knight Rider fan.
I am. It's the greatest show of all time. It's on three times a day on the El Rey Network.
What the hell is the El Rey Network?
I don't know, but all they show on it is old 80s TV shows like Knight Rider and Airwolf, Kung Fu movies, and wrestling. But like weird wrestling.
It's for people who sit around in their underwear all day getting high?
Or people with night jobs like me. it's a fine network though. I do watch. I like to watch the Knight Riders during the day. While I'm having
call your service provider, everybody.
While I'm having my lunch, it's great. But yeah, it's just like random 80s references and stuff like that. And also, let's forget about going on to that. How there's so many people in it. They put X-Men in there that didn't do anything. What about Jubilee?
Oh yeah, she's they like, always throw her in there.
She's like their friend throughout the movie, and they don't even bring her along.
No, they leave her behind at the school, right?
And they made a big deal about her being in this when this movie was in production. We're like, look, we have Jubilee. Look, she looks just like she did. Hey, it's gonna be great. And she did absolutely nothing. There was no you didn't see her throwing fireworks at anybody.
I think she's one of those characters that people say they all like, but they all secretly don't. So they're like, let's just put her in and shut up.
You know what? That's horseshit. Because they say, because she was like the main person in like the first couple of episodes of the animated series. That's why people say that.
Yeah.
Everything else is garbage. Nobody likes Jubilee. She's the worst character.
And like every time I see her, I'm like, why do they keep sticking her in here and we can't get Gambit? Like, nobody wants to see this character.
Yeah. And they can't get that damn movie made.
Now they really can.
But okay, so let's talk about the Weapon X scene. Did you enjoy your standard Wolverine cameo? Because you can't do an X-Men movie without him.
I mean, I guess. Okay, here's my problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of Days of Future Past, they show that like Stryker's pulling Wolverine out of the river, and it's really Mystique.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, maybe that's not going to go the same way as it did. And then we see in this one, it went exactly the same, and they experimented on him.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. I thought that didn't really happen this time.
Dude, you just blew my mind. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's really annoying.
And, like, I can buy that it still happened, but how? It's just
not explained.
Well,
maybe that's the next Wolverine movie.
Well, then don't have him in the movie. like you're right. Like, it didn't serve a purpose, so just don't do it.
It was a trailer for the next Wolverine movie?
Yeah. Yeah, the 20-minute scene in this movie.
Oh, God.
I mean, he's in good shape. He plays Wolverine better than probably anybody ever will, but... He didn't really do anything in this.
No, he just killed a couple people and left.
Yeah.
He didn't have any lines. He didn't say anything.
No, he didn't even have any lines.
He just grunted.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, he did come out of that cage. I was like, oh my God, is he in good shape.
He made $11 million. $9 million of that went to his workouts.
Yeah. Made a new gym set.
Oh, God. But then they had your standard Stan Lee cameo as well.
Yeah. Was that his wife with him?
Or his daughter. His daughter was 88.
She also had liver spots.
Dad, don't.
Yeah, you gotta get that Stan Lee cameo. I don't mind them. It depends what he does, obviously.
Yeah.
You know. Like, he just stood there this time, but there's somewhere he talks. You're like, oh, don't say anything, Stan. Just stand there and look good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, there's a lot about this movie I like. There's a lot that bothered me. But, yeah. I mean, and did you stay for the after credits scene?
I did. Did you?
No.
See it?
No. I've seen it already, so I really didn't care.
Oh, okay.
I was hungry. I had to hit up Chick-fil-A on the way home.
For anybody who didn't stay, I know some people have small bladders. It's basically the very end credits. It was... government people walking into where Wolverine was, taking all the Weapon X DNA and putting it into the suitcase labeled the Essex Corporation. Now, do you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Sinister, correct?
Yeah, they're teasing Mr. Sinister.
So they said that's either going to be the next Wolverine movie. Well, the writer actually said that. He admitted that. I read that online today. That I looked it up. He said that it has nothing to do with the next X-Men movie. It's a setup for the next Wolverine movie. So I guess they are doing the Weapon X Wolverine. Because I always thought they were doing Old Man Logan.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going to do.
Who knows?
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. It would be nice to have one good solo Wolverine movie before Hugh Jackman retires.
How's he going to retire? He's a vampire.
Well, that's what I was surprised. He's like, I think I'm done. I don't want to do these anymore. And he's done a lot of them, but he's so good.
And then they were like, and then they just show him what his pay will be, and he's like, well, gotta go.
Good luck with these movies.
Good luck with these other projects. I can hold off doing a passion piece for a while. They're paying me a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't have to do Les Mis anymore.
Yeah, like, whatever, man. So, all in all, you thought it was a disappointment. I didn't. I would watch a young X-Men movie. Like, absolutely. And
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
There were plenty of nice character moments, but not enough to balance out how slow and bizarre this movie was.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the overall performances didn't make up for the fact that didn't make up for the lack of action and suspense and fun.
Yeah, it's like, not a lot of fun. You're right.
Yeah, it was a very heavy film, but there was but at least there was comedy. There was jokes, and like the comedy in there was good. It was just there was just no action in this movie at all.
Yeah, no, I was glad for the jokes too because like some other comic book movies we saw, this one was a little had some lighthearted moments.
All right, can we get it? Okay, so are we done with X-Men? Because I want to get into something else since you mentioned that.
Sure.
So, overall, we covered X-Men Apocalypse. The news coming out this week, if we just talk on a little nerdy news at the end of the show, is the new extended cut for Batman vs. Superman. Did you see the trailer for it?
No. What's so different about it?
I guess they just threw some more scenes in it. So I actually found an article online of somebody who saw it, because I guess it's coming out on Blu-ray soon. And how it's like it's longer. It's there is stuff that they cut out that they put into this one that explains so much and gives people like motives and things. They were
the important stuff.
Yeah, they were like, it doesn't make the movie better. It just makes it make sense more. So like the trailer's up online and it shows like, you know, Jenna Malone's character, who is, you know, you didn't know who she was. They cut her out of the movie, you know, and there's a lot of speculation that she was Batgirl or Carrie Kelly, one of the former Robins, but she's neither, apparently. She's just like...
I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, the movie was long enough. I can't imagine anything saving that film. It really stunk.
Yeah.
It was like, X-Men was disappointing because... Bryan Singer's a really good director. I knew this movie wasn't going to be good.
Is he, though?
Well, he knows his X-Men.
Yeah, but does he?
The first two X-Men movies were great.
Yeah, they were, but...
No?
No, like, they were right. And, like that's the thing. It's like, a lot... I know a lot of, you know... comic book movie fans like ourselves, you kind of bow to Singer because all truth, he was the first. He opened the door to the world we live in right now.
That's true.
Without him, we don't have any of this. We don't have the Avengers. No. We don't have Captain America. You know, because before he put out that first X-Men movie, all we had was Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I don't think Spider-Man, and that sucks.
No, that came out after it.
Oh,
that came
it?
after Spider-Man. The first Spider-Man came out in like 2002. The first X-Men movie came out in 2000.
Oh.
I mean, that trumped everything. That and there wasn't one before. Like, I think it was that was it. Everyone went away from it. He led the way. Because without that, you don't have the Spider-Man trilogy. You don't have and you don't get into all this other stuff that we drool over now.
Yeah.
But. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with some of his X-Men movies, and I liked First Class better than this one.
Oh, I think Days of Future Past is the best.
Do you?
Yeah.
Out of the newer three?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So.
Why?
So, like, that one you can watch just as if you don't know anything about the X-Men, you can watch that and totally get it, and you can relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some really good action, and it's very interesting. I mean, First Class is also really good. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, that one, it helps if you know a little bit from the old movies. And this one, you definitely need to know stuff, or you'd be totally lost.
Yeah.
You know, this one doesn't stand on its own at all.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I think. Well, you know what? Yeah, I guess I can buy that. I mean, I love Days of Future Past. I really did. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great movie. And I like First Class, too. But I mean, I like you know as much as the new blood in the movie, you know, kind of gave this movie a little bit of life. It just wasn't enough.
Yeah,
it really wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. All right. Got anything else, man? Are we wrapping this bad boy up?
Let's just do the quick top three.
Oh yeah,
so,
top three. Here we go. Feature of the show.
Yeah, the three drinks in, three drinker in, whatever. We don't have a name for it yet.
Hey man, you can combine my show. Which is my wrestling show. It's the three count.
Ooh,
what
that's
up?
That's good.
Right?
Good one.
Thank you. I know.
Okay. All right. So we just covered favorite X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite X-Man and where you want the next movie to go?
Okay. My favorite X-Man. Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm.
Ooh, I had to think about that one. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hard. I mean, I was always a Gambit guy from back in the day, even from like the comic books. I always liked him. You know, I thought it was kind of cool cuz his power is so ridiculous. You know,
yeah. It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, he just turns playing cards into energy.
I'm going to throw the hardest things in the world to throw at people.
Yeah, like he can walk into a CVS and plop 99 cents down and kill everybody in the store. Just get get a pack of bicycles and just fling them at people's faces.
Don't throw those. It's okay. You know, it's the rules to play poker.
But I always liked him because he was always like a funny character. He could fight, and you know, we've never really gotten to see. You know, I always have a soft spot in my heart for Gambit because we've never gotten to see him on the big screen. We've gone through like however many movies. We've seen him like for a few minutes in that awful Wolverine movie.
Oh yeah, that was horrible.
He's just kind of shoehorned in there. He's never really gotten justice. We've seen, you know, several of these characters be done really right, and him not so much. So, you know, I think I'll go with Gambit there. How about you?
I would probably go with Cyclops, just because he's always been like, he reminds me of Leonardo from the Turtles in that way. Like, he's the leader that no one likes or respects, but you just know he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And he can't use his eyes, which is, like, in this movie it's done so well, where he's like, I can't look at anything without hurting anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that window into me is totally blocked off for everybody else. That's really hard, and I can really identify with that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. You know? I thought it was really well done. I thought the kid who played him was really good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they finally gave him his due in a movie. Like, the James Marsden version didn't really get a good enough play.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of just pushed to the side. Barely in the second one. Like,
yeah, yeah. All
right, so what's your third question? Don't you have a third question?
So where do you want to see what's your hope for the next movie?
I'd like to see them, like, I remember the Dark Phoenix saga. I had those comics. So I remember reading that and everything, and I think that's such a great story, and they, you know, having them, you know, having half-assed it in the past and all this, I think they could, if they really did it right, they could, you know, they could make, it'll be a winner, because it's a great story. Mm-hmm. So obviously I think they said that the next one's going to be in the 90s, so we'll see how much they haven't aged since then. And yeah. You know, that'd be kind of cool if they see them like, you know, the X-Men in Seattle with grunge.
Lots of flannel on
them. So have Quicksilver saving everybody at a Nirvana concert.
God. Stop saving people.
Oh yeah, what song do they use for the Quicksilver scene in the next one?
Rape Me by Nirvana. That's a classic.
What about you, man? Where do you think is gonna go?
I would love to see them do Mr. Sinister, but I'd like to see them drop the whole prejudice thing against mutants. Like, don't mush them together like they did with this one. Just do a villain. If you're gonna have him be evil, I mean, the guy's name is Mr. Sinister, for God's sakes. Just have him be the villain, you know, and have them team up, have them have some action scenes, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd like to see them really do a like a balls out action movie.
Yeah,
it would make up a lot for it. You don't need to be such heavy-handed with the emotions. You need to a credible threat and, you know, like good fighting.
Yeah. Cuz they've done all the emotion stuff already. It's been
done.
A
lot.
Yeah, and I think this one proves that they played it out. Like, it's time to move on to something else. Yeah. So.
All right.
Hey, it's been great having you.
Yeah, I'd love to be on it. Thank you for being on mine, too, because we're going to be posting this separately, I think. So,
yeah, so if anyone's listening, you can check out High Spots and Low Blows on Facebook. You got Instagram, too, right? Or Twitter?
No, I have a Twitter. It's at High Spots Pod, and our website's highspotslowblows.com. We are on iTunes, and as of this week, we are now on Stitcher Radio well. So just search for us on there. You find all our past episodes. And we just released an episode, I think, on Monday. I posted it, I think. Mm-hmm. So for my last week's show, it was a solo show, and it was a lot of fun to do. Get back into it, and we'll move on from there.
Cool. All right. And you can check us out, you know, same place we always are, threedrinksin.com. And we're on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. We're everywhere. All right. So I'll see you again next time. All right, everyone, please drink responsibly.